And so I want to continue into our series of legacy. Actually, today I'm finishing up. It's my last message, and as we said at the end, we'll be taking up our legacy offering. But I want to talk to you today about believing for generations. And I want to talk about the power and importance, the significance of believing for generations. Someone look at your neighbor next to you today and tell them, I am believing for generations. Believing for generations. What is legacy? Again, just to review, we've been talking about it all this month, but legacy is something tangible that is built, that is passed from one generation to another. And so this entire month, we've been talking about building something that is going to be for generations. Building something, partnering with Jesus, partnering with the Holy Spirit, what he's doing here, and being people who will build with him. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Everyone say, build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so we've been talking about this call to be builders. We've been talking about this call to say, okay, we're going to be believers who roll up our sleeves, who partner with Jesus, and who get involved in building what he is building. He said, I'm going to build my church. And so as we carry his heart, as we carry his passion, we will become people who will build his church as well. And so we talked about the importance of learning to be builders, and that we would not be spectators, we would not be feed me Christians who just say, feed me pastor, give me more, what do you have for me today? And we would not be armchair quarterbacks, people who sit back and who criticize, who know everything that's wrong with the church, who know everything that's wrong with what we're doing, but aren't getting involved to be part of the solution. So we're not going to be spectators, we are not going to be feed me first Christians, we are not going to be armchair quarterback Christians, but we are going to be builders who get involved in the work of building the church, who get involved in the work of building the kingdom of God. That is the heart that we want to carry. Amen? And so I want you just to tell your neighbor today, I am a builder. And so this is the heart that we're going after. And then we've talked about for a couple of weeks what we're actually building. And so we talked about the importance and power of building family. That we're family and God's called us to build family and to build together. We're not perfect at it. We've got lots of room to grow, but we're learning how to do church as family. We talked about building a spiritual hospital, building a place where people can come and get healed and whole, where you are not judged for having sin in your life, but you're led to Jesus who can bring purity and wholeness and cure at what the cure for what is ailing you. And so we're going to be a spiritual hospital. And then we talked about the power and importance of being a training center. And I shared this last week, that all of us have great destiny and purpose on our lives. But the gap so many of us is we have this destiny and purpose, but we need to be trained. And that here at Toronto City Church, we are building a training center where every single person is trained and raised up to live out the purposes of God in their generation. And so we talked about that. And then we talked last but not least about the power of building a rescue ship church. That we want to be people who have a heart for people who don't know God. Who have a heart for people who are drowning in the sea of sin and say, we want to work together, we want to partner together, we want to believe together to reach as many people as we possibly can. That we're not going to have a cruise ship mentality. We're not going to be Christians who where it's all about me and all about my comfort and all about my ease, but we're going to be believers who say, let's partner together, let's work together, let's go together to see as many people as possible come to Jesus Christ. Someone tell your neighbor, I'm a rescue ship Christian. And so I want to close this all today, building on that foundation, and I want to talk to us for a few moments. It's a sobering message in some ways, but also a very encouraging message. But I want to talk to us about thinking generationally. And I believe God wants to speak to us today about the power of thinking generationally, because legacy is all about not just what you're building for yourself or not just about what you're building for your generation, but legacy is actually about what we're building for generations to come. And so if we're going to build for generations to come, we are called to think generationally. Someone tell your neighbor, I need to think generationally. We need to think generationally. Let's look at Exodus 3:15. And Exodus 3:15 says, moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Now, it's interesting in this passage, but we see that God refers to himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And not only does he do it in this passage, but we see it at least 12 other times through scriptures, or somewhere in that range, that again, he identifies or refers himself. Mostly, it's in the early portion of the scriptures in Genesis and Exodus, but we see that one of the names of God, or one of the ways that he identifies himself, is I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, why does he do that? Why is this significant? Why should this matter to us? Well, first and foremost, we see that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were foundational patriarchs, as they are called scripturally, but there is promises and covenant promises that God made to each one of them. There are covenant promises for the people of Israel that he made to Abraham, that he made to Isaac, and that he made to Jacob. And so in referring himself to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is confirming family. He is also confirming his covenant promises, and he's reminding them, saying, I'm the God who spoke to Abraham. I'm the God who spoke to Isaac. I'm the God who spoke to Jacob. This same God is speaking to you now. But secondly, we see an element here that really stands out to me. We also see there's an element of a generational mindset. Why didn't God just say, I'm the God of Abraham? Why did he just say, I'm the God of Isaac, or I'm the God of Jacob? Because I believe the Lord was revealing part of his character to us here, that he is a God who thinks and who works generationally. He is a God who is not just working for the generation of Abraham, but he's also working for the generation of Isaac, and he's also working for the generation of Jacob. And God actually thinks generationally. What God is doing even right now in our lives, in our church family, is not just for us in the here and now. It is for us as Abraham, but it is also for Isaac. It is also for Jacob. God is always thinking and planning way ahead. The devil is playing checkers, and God is playing chess. He is always on the move. He is always setting things up, and he is always thinking generationally. And so as we become more like him, and we operate, we function more in the way that he has called us to, we begin to think more and more generationally ourselves. And so that's part of the heart of this message this afternoon, is to encourage us to be embracing and say, okay, God, are we thinking generationally? Are we thinking more than just ourselves? Are we thinking further down the road, and are we seeing what God is doing, not just for us, but for the generations? There's actually a passage I don't have reference for you right now, but there's a passage that talks about how God will do something even unto 1,000 generations. God thinks and acts generationally, and he's calling us to think and act generationally too. Someone say, act generationally. Legacy is all about building for generations to come. God is calling us to think generationally. Now let's look at a passage here from Judges chapter 2, verse 7 to 12. And Judges chapter 2, verse 7 to 12 says this, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them, watch this, who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Now for me, I was reading this, I was meditating, and there is such a tragedy that is contained in this passage. We take Joshua, for example. The Bible talked about who had seen the works that God had done. Joshua was in Egypt, and he saw the works that God had done in Egypt. He saw the way he brought that whole empire of Egypt down to its knees. He was there when God opened up the Red Sea and the children of Israel walked through on dry ground. He was there when the Lord destroyed the enemies who were coming after them to kill them. He was there when they stood at Mount Sinai and the presence of God descended on the mountain and people literally cried out in terror because the presence of God was so overwhelming. He was there to see the manna that came every single day. He was there to see the way God provided for them. Their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. He was stuck with them. I mean, it's interesting if you think about it. The children of Israel were stuck in a wilderness that took 2 to 3 days to walk across for 40 years. That's what disobedience will get you. But when you walk in obedience, you move into what God has for you. And so we see that he was there. He was there, though, when they saw God dry up the Jordan River and they were able to cross on dry grounds. He was there when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down and they moved into a great victory. He was there, and there were so many of that generation who went with him to see these miracles and to see these miracles happen. But something terrible happened. Something tragic happened in this gap between Joshua's generation and the next generation. And I don't pretend today as I preach to you to completely understand the whys or the ifs about it all. I don't pretend to understand all the reasons of what happened or why it went the direction it did. But the Bible is very clear that even though Joshua and his generation saw all that they saw in the middle of all the great things they did for God, there was this gap that they did not get what God had done in them into the next generation. Because the Bible says this generation arose that did not know God. Why did they not know God? Because somewhere along the way, even though Joshua's generation knew God and had a walk with God, they did not get that into the next generation. I don't know if they didn't model it well. I don't know if they didn't explain it well. I don't know what it was, but they did not get that walk to the next generation. Not only that, but said this generation arose that did not know the great works that God had done. The only reason they could not know the great works that God has done was because people stopped talking about them. People stopped sharing about them. They stopped remembering the things that God had done. And furthermore, they walked in supernatural times in the past, but at some point, they decided to camp out and said, you know what? We've done a lot for God. We've experienced a lot for God. We've walked in a lot for God. I think it's okay for us to rest now. I think we've given a lot. We've served a lot. We've sacrificed a lot. I think it's just a good time for us to relax and kick back. But the problem was, because they weren't continuing to advance, the next generation was not experiencing God what they had experienced in God. And so a generation rose up that did not know God and did not know his works or what he had done. And that generation, sadly, as soon as Joshua and his generation died away, they ended up turning away to Baals. And there was a great devastation in the land. And they lost so much ground that had been taken. They lost so much of the freedom that had been taken. And guys, this is so sobering to me, because when we think generationally, what I realized in myself, even as I studied and prepared for this message, was so often I can get focused on myself, so often I can get focused on what God's doing right now, and I can miss the spot that God says, yes, I'm doing it in you, Abraham, but I also want to do it in Isaac, and I also want to do it in Jacob, and I'm calling you to have a heart and a passion and a focus that what I'm doing now will be built and built in to and shared with and encouraged for the generations that are to come. I'm calling you to think generationally. Sadly, Joshua and the elders, for all the good they did not think generationally. And because of that, after a generation, what God had did started to die out. But God is calling us today. We do not want to be in the same place, the same position, but he's calling us to think generationally. Everyone say generationally. God is calling us to think and to believe and to go after what he wants to do in the generations. When the next generation is not led into intimacy with God and they do not experience his power, they ultimately turn to idols. Now, our idols today may not be called Baal, but our idols can be called social media. Our idols can be called money. Our idols can be called a certain lifestyle that they want to live. But when they don't meet God, when they don't encounter the power of God, that is when a generation gets pulled away. But what I'm thankful for is God is building in us a church family that's focused on legacy. That we're saying, hey, I'm thankful for what God's doing in my life, but I'm going to pay the price for this to get to the next generation. I'm going to pay the price for this to get to our sons and daughters. I'm going to pay the price for this to get to Culture Shock Youth Ministry. For us to get to TCC Kids. We're believing for the children who aren't even born yet. Some of you don't even know your spouse spouse yet, but you're going to meet your spouse, and then you're going to have kids who have a calling of God on their life. And even now, we're laying a legacy and we're paying a price for the generation that is to come. We will not be a church family that has a one generational move of God, but in the name of Jesus, we will be a church family that sees God move in Abraham and sees God move in Isaac and see God move in Jacob and sees God move through the generation. Someone tell your neighbor, we're thinking generationally. Let's look at another passage that speaks to this. We're going to go to 2 Kings 20, 14 to 19. It says, then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say, and from where did they come to you? So Hezekiah said, they came from a far country, from Babylon. A little bit of context here. This was in the time before Babylon had conquered Judea, which they would in a generation after this. They were a world power at that time, a great empire, and they'd sent their envoys or their ambassadors to Hezekiah. So Hezekiah had taken them all through Jerusalem, taken them all through the treasuries, and showed them everything that was there. And so this is the context in which Isaiah the prophet now comes to him and is speaking to him. Let's go to verse 16. And it says, verse 15, we'll start, and he said to them, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they've seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated unto this day shall be carried to Babylon, and nothing shall be left. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, who you will begat, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, watch this, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days? Now, I don't know about you, but I think this is one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. I think this is one of the saddest scriptures that I have ever written. The prophet comes to King Hezekiah with a prophetic word, and he says, devastation is coming. Everything that you have built is going to go to Babylon. And not only that, but your sons that you have begat. See, some of your sons running around here right now, I think this hits me even more as a father. They will be made eunuchs in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you're not sure what a eunuch is, we can have a little anatomy lesson later and talk a little bit of biology. But I think most of us are very familiar with what eunuchs are. But when you become a eunuch, your ability to reproduce, your ability to produce a generation is cut off. And you are no longer able to, you are released impotent. You can no longer build a generation. And yet the prophet comes with this word, and it's interesting because he comes with this word to King Hezekiah. This was the same King Hezekiah who earlier in his life, the Lord had come with a word and said, you're going to die. And Hezekiah turned his face to the Lord. He sought God. He cried out. He said, God, have mercy. Change this. And God literally moved supernaturally and said, I'm going to give you another 15 years on your life. So he knew that even though a word came through prayer and repentance, it could be changed. He knew that even though a word came through the word of God, we could still cry out to God. And yet he didn't cry out to God for change. He didn't cry out to God for the generation. He didn't call the people to pray and fast according to the word of the Lord. I believe this was actually a divine invitation from God and saying, will you step up and intercede, kind of like Abraham did with Sodom and Gomorrah, where he went into intercession before God and said, God, can we cry out? Can we see this thing change? And yet in the middle of all, Hezekiah did none of that, and he simply said, the word of the Lord is good. Why? Because it won't happen when I'm alive. I don't care about my kids. I don't care about my people I serve. I don't care about the coming generations. As long as I'm comfortable, as long as things are easy for me, as long as I got a lot of money in my bank account, as long as I got a nice home that I can live in, as long as I have what God has for me, as long as I can be blessed in my life, I don't give a rip about any generations that come. And yet it is so devastating, family. But before we point the finger too hard at Hezekiah, I challenge us, let us look not at what we think we say, but what our lifestyle is saying. Because this is perfect cruise ship Christianity. All I care about is me being comfortable. All I care about is if things are okay for me. But I believe that God is stirring something in us, even as we grow in legacy, where we are not going to be people who say, well, as long as it's okay for me, I'm good. But we're going going to be a people and we're going to be a church that says we're building for generations. We're building for those that God has called us to. We're going to sacrifice now so our sons and daughters can walk in their purpose and destiny. We're going to sacrifice now so that coming generations can experience that God has for them. May we never have a spirit like Hezekiah had that said, well, this is good because as long as it will be easy in my day. But may we be the people who say, I'm going to sacrifice in my day so that a generation that comes after me can walk in all that God has for them. How many people want to join me in having that kind of heart and that kind of spirit, that we would have that heart for legacy? See, family, here's all that legacy is all about. First and foremost, legacy is about having a heart for the coming generations. It's about allowing God to do a work in us. And I start with our heart because that's the most important part. Do we have a heart for the generations that are going to come? Do we have a heart for the generations that God has called us to? You know, obviously, I'm so aware of this as a father now and looking at my children and watching my children and just what God is doing in their lives and who they are. So it's very, but for all of us, whether we have children right now or not, God still wants to give us a heart for generations. Do you have a heart for generations today? Do you have a heart for the generations that are going to come? Do you have a heart for the generations that God is wanting to build? And do you have that part that says, God, give me a heart. Whatever I can do, give me a heart for the generations that are coming. See, first and foremost, we have a heart for legacy. We have a heart for generations. Number two, if we have a heart for legacy, we have a heart for building for the coming generations. Everyone say building. We have a heart to build something for coming generations. Guys, that's what legacy is all about. Legacy is all about us putting the time, the effort, the sweat equity, rolling up our sleeves, doing whatever we have to do, making the investments. But what we're doing is saying, I'm building something for generations that are to come. I'm going to build now. I'm going to work now. I'm going to sweat now. I'm going to invest now. I'm going to sacrifice now. I'm going to do whatever I have to do right now so that there will be something tangible for generations that are coming. You know, we can see this even physically here in our church family. Not that a building is everything, but guys, the building you're in right now, the seats we're sitting on, this is part of a legacy that was passed to us from people who've been part of this church family for the last 31 years. 31 years ago, Pastor Paul and Elaine came to Toronto from down east, and there was no building. There was no funds. There was no finances. I mean, they brought a seed fund with them to get started from the church they're planted from. But there were people who said, we're going to build something for a generation to come. We're going to build something for a generation so they can be part of. And I remember hearing the stories. I mean, I was quite young, but I was there around the time. But even when the opportunity came up to get the first building downtown off George, St. George Station there, and they literally needed to take a miracle offering up. And they literally, because within like one day or a couple days, they had to come up with a down payment or else they wouldn't get the building. And so there were people in this church family that rallied together. There was people that literally pulled out of RSPs, pulled out of whatever. And I said in first service, I'm not trying to say you should pull money out of your RSP for the offering today. That's not my heart. I'm just talking to you about the aspect of people said, we're willing to sacrifice now. And they paid a price there. Well, that seed that they sowed ultimately grew up into the equity that grew into the facility that we're in now. And there wasn't even in this facility, there was a 6-year battle to get this facility up. Some of you don't know this. There was a 6-year battle. The enemy did not want Toronto City Church to own property or to put its foot in the ground. You know why? Because when you own property, there's an authority that comes. When you own property, there is like, listen, I'm not worried about getting a letter from somebody this week saying, we don't want to rent to you church anymore. You're not going to be able to meet on Sunday. You know why? Because we own the spot. Right? Right? We're not renting from the city. The city's renting from us. Right? They come every month now, almost every month, or last month, they're coming and doing council like meetings for zoning and different things like that. And we welcome them because we want to be a blessing to our city. But there's an establishment, but it happened because there was people who were willing to say, we'll build. Right? But we're not just talking about a facility. I mean, we are in some regards because you know what? We still got to build phase 3. That's part of my assignment before the Lord, is to ultimately see us through the building of phase three, because we're getting prophetic words. It's coming sooner than not. So the soccer field out there, that's going to be our new sanctuary. We're going to put two floors up on top of the floors that we have now. We're going to have indoor children's playground. We're going to have dance studios. We're going to have film studios. We're going to have all more classroom space than we know what to do with. Praise the Lord. We are going to have, but see, it's going to happen because there's people that say we're willing to build. And then the next generation comes up into that as a legacy that's given to them. And what do? Should they sit back on that and go, well, isn't it great? All these people put in all this work, time, effort, money, so we can just relax. No, they need to have a heart and says, okay, God, what is our assignment to build? What are you asking us to build? Because anyone who thinks generationally says, I'm building something for the next generation. Someone tell your neighbor today, we're building. We are building. And guys, it's not just about building a building. Frankly, that is like, because you can take our building away. You could take our facilities away. You couldn't take the love that we have for one another away. You couldn't take the family aspect away. It's not just about the building. But who's going to be willing to say, let's build a culture. Let's build a culture that the kids come up in and they think it's normal to love God. They think it's normal to be bold about your faith. They think it's normal to pray for the sick and see them recover. See, what one generation has to contend for, the next generation just thinks is normal. But see, then what that generation has to decide to do is say, we're not just going to rest on the ground that the other generation took for us, but we're saying, what mountain have you called us to, God? What place have you called us to take authority over? We're going to build on what the last generation built for us. And so my challenge to many of us who are newer here in the church family, you are standing on the shoulders of some people who served even for 30 years being here. Will you just rest on what has been given to you? Or will you say, Lord, what is my assignment in this? What is my part in this? What are you calling me to build for the next generation? What are you calling me to invest for so we can walk in all that God has called us to? And so if we have a heart for generations, we have a heart to build. So number one, we have, God wants to give us a heart for the generations. Number two, he wants us to build generationally. And number three, legacy is about sacrificing for coming generations. So this is where the rubber really meets the road. Are we willing to sacrifice? Now, actually, if you know me well enough, you know I'm a bit of a history geek. So I don't know if any fellow history geeks in the house, but I just love history. I love anything historical. You're going to get my attention with pretty quickly. I was telling the first service, you know, so I can get into shows like Downton Abbey. Amen. I got a couple amens and probably a couple omis. You know, and the writing's good, the character development's great, but just for me, it's something about seeing the way people lived in different generations in history. It always moves me when I get into a cemetery, because you might see gravestones, and oh, this would be spooky at night. I see lives. I see, like, I think, man, like, born, died, Reverend so it's like, I think about their life. I think about, what did they do for the kingdom of God? What was it like? It's just, I don't know, maybe it's a little weird. It's just the way I get when I get in there. I'm thinking legacy, and I'm thinking generationally. And so I recently on Netflix, I've been watching a documentary on the Civil War. And it's moving, it's disturbing, it's fascinating. But part of what really marked me, number one, I mean, I'm just marked of the horrors of war. We should never glorify war in any way. And I think too much, I was thinking about movies, video games, different things like that. It kind of makes light of war. War destroys people. It destroys people's lives. But in the middle of it, I was also marked by that there's times that even though the cost is high, you've got to be willing to do it. Because even with the Civil War, it centered around emancipation. It really became a war over slavery. It became a war over freedom for people. And there were people of all different colors, of all different backgrounds, who were willing to lay down their lives where they weren't even going to experience all the fruit of it, but future generations were going to experience the fruit of their sacrifice. And there's something about, it's interesting, a lot of times we will build something as long as it benefits us. But will we be willing to make a sacrifice even for a generation that we may never see? Will we be willing to make a sacrifice even for a generation, for a place and a time that God may not permit us to go into? But we still say, I am willing to sacrifice for the cause of Jesus Christ, and I'm willing to sacrifice for generations that are to come. That's why the scriptures say that children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. You draw them back. You pour legacy into them. You pour love into them. You introduce them to Jesus is done. But then at some point, you release them, and ultimately, they go into a time and a place that you can't even go. But if you've done your job well, and you sacrificed, and you've built, they fly true, and they fly straight into destiny and purpose and into the call of God. But where are the people who will not just build for generations, but say, I'm willing to sacrifice for generations? Every generation has its call. Every generation has its purpose. There was the Civil War generation. There was the generation of the Great War, where many young men and young women sacrificed their lives for freedom. In the Second World War, in different generations, what is the cause that God is calling us to? Obviously, I'm referring to wars, but it's not just about wars. It is about other things. It's messy. Anyways, I'm not even trying to say everything was great. I'm just talking about the personal cost of someone who says, I'm willing to sacrifice for a coming generation. And it's got to be people who say, I'm willing to sacrifice for a coming generation. If we're going to think generationally, it's saying, God, I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm here, Lord. What do you need me to do? You know, it's interesting. I was listening to a talk recently. Fascinating stuff. And the guy was actually talking on his study historically of the abolishment of the slave trade. And he said, kind of sociologists will tell us it takes 3 to 5 years to change an organization. That's why it makes a little more sense for me with, as a church family, going through the merge. It was about 3 to 5 years of just, and we're finally really finding our feet and kind of finding, okay, where we're going, who we are. But it takes 3 to 5 years to change a small organization. It takes 8 to 10 years to shift or change a large organization. And then it takes a minimum of 20 to 40 years to change a culture. See, it's interesting. So often we're thinking in weeks, and God's thinking in decades. What if we said we're going to give the next 40 years to see revival in Toronto? What if we said we're going to give the next 40 years to see a move of God in our nation? And we're not going to get discouraged and give up after a week or after a month or after a year and some of the ups and downs, but we're committed to give our lives to this, because if there's people who will come together for a 40-year period to shift the culture, there are generations after that that will experience the benefits of it. You may never even see it all. You may never experience it all. You may not even go into the promised land, but will you be willing to pray and praise and sacrifice and give and do everything you can so somebody else can go into that promised land that you sacrifice and you lay your life down for the generations that are to come? This is what legacy is all about. Legacy is not about me. Legacy is about what I'm leaving and what I'm giving to the generations. Someone tell your neighbor, I'm all about legacy. And family, this doesn't mean God doesn't do amazing things right here and now with us. It doesn't mean that it happens, but it means we're thinking Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're thinking about building for 100 years. We're thinking about what God wants to do in us in the generations. That's what we're believing for. That's what we're building for. Yo, someone might say to me, well, let me say this, will we allow God to give us a heart to be part of building a church that impacts our grandkids and our great-grandkids? Now, I know some of us will identify with that because maybe you already have grandkids, so you're thinking about it. But some of you don't even have kids yet. But I want you to believe and to think and pray about even your great-grandchildren. Now, someone say, well, wait, Pastor, isn't Jesus coming back before then? Well, let me ask you this. What if he doesn't? Right? Now, I know some of you just sucked all the air out of the room. But let me think about this for a second. What if he didn't? I've grown up my entire life. I remember when I was a kid, I was scared Jesus could come back before I got married. Anybody else like that? I mean, you had this reoccurring nightmare of you're at the altar on your wedding day, and all of a sudden you hear the trumpet sound, doo-doo-doo, and you're like, no, one more day. Like, why are you coming back now? I waited all this time, and yeah, and we had all this thing about, oh, my, no, don't come back now, don't whatever. And I'm not preaching against the return of the Lord, right? That hit a nerve with some of you. I see some of you just like, oh, Jesus, oh, I'm done. Pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. But here's what I want us to catch. I'm not against preaching the return of the Lord, because the Bible says for us to live with a regular awareness that Jesus is coming. But can we believe what the Bible says? When it says, but concerning that day or the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, the Father only. So I promise you, next time you see someone on late night TV or release some book that Jesus is coming back in 2020, don't believe it. Right? Because the Bible says nobody knows except the Father. Jesus said, I don't even know. Now, I'm not preaching against having an awareness of Jesus' return. But what I'm preaching against is an awareness of Jesus' return robbing us of building for generations. Right? We are called to live as if Jesus is coming back today, but to build as if he's not coming back for 100 years. And so we're going to have a 100-year plan for Toronto City Church because we're planning to be here and to occupy until he comes. Well, what if he comes back in year 20? Well, great. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. We did everything we needed to do until God decided game over. And so in the middle of it all, we are not going to limit what we're building. You need to dream. You need to build. You need to invest. The Bible says, a good man lays up an inheritance for his children's children. We want to do that with finances, but we want to do that in the things of the Spirit. We want to do that in spiritual legacy. We want to leave an inheritance for our children's children, and we want to leave a spiritual inheritance for the sons and daughters who are going to come into the kingdom. God is bringing sons and daughters into this place. God is bringing prodigal sons and daughters home in the name of Jesus. But all of that, your spiritual sons and daughters are going to have sons and daughters. Who are going to have sons and daughters? Who are going to have sons and daughters? We're thinking, we're believing, we're praying generationally, and we're going to build, and we're going to sacrifice, and we're going to pay the cost. We're going to do whatever we need to do to see God's will be done to the very best of our ability by his grace and for his glory. And everyone who agreed with me said, will you join me in building this way at Toronto City Church? Will you join me in dreaming about what God could do over the next 100 years? Because you know Toronto City Church isn't my church, right? It doesn't belong to me. It's my church. I love this church. I'm not trying to go to another church. But it doesn't belong to me. This is Jesus' church. It's here before I got here. And it'll be here after I go to heaven. And I want to leave better than when I got here. And I want to lay a foundation for the next generation that's going to come. Because it's a stewardship. It's his church. Right? And so if we all have that heart and says here, because you know what? God's called me and I want to build. I want to be part of what God's doing. I want to lay a foundation for the generations that are to come. Will you join me? Where can we join together and say, God, we want to work with you to build your church. We want to build a legacy for generations to come. We want to leave up an inheritance for our children's children. We want to see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to 1,000 generations move through this church family in a powerful way. So just in closing today, I want to tell you a bit about the church that I'm seeing. I'll talk to you for a moment, so just when I close my eyes, when I dream with God, what I'm seeing, but it's not just so it can be my dream, but so it can be a dream that we'll dream together. Borrowed this concept a little bit from Pastor Brian Houston from Hillsong, but I put the TCC spin on it a little bit. So let me tell you a bit today about the church I see. I see a church of 10,000 plus people that gather together to worship, but also to meet from house to house throughout the GTA. I see a church that can't build buildings big enough to hold all the people that are being reached. So they have multiple services throughout the weekend. I see a church that has a hub campus in the city of Toronto and has 4 satellite campuses in the north, the south, the east, and the west corners of the GTA. I see a church that looks like heaven on earth and is intercultural and intergenerational. I see a church that is home to people from every nation on the earth where we walk in love towards one another. I see a church where every generation is present and activated and there is great unity. I see a church that recognizes that we are better together than we are on our own. I see a church that is family. I see a church where there's room at the table for every person. A place where no matter where you have been or what you have done, you are welcomed home. I see a church where sons and daughters grow up into their destiny and where prodigal sons and daughters are welcomed home by the Father. I see a church that is a spiritual hospital that doesn't judge people for being sick with sin, but loves them and points them to the cure, Jesus Christ. I see a church that is a house of healing where people are healed spiritually, physically, and emotionally. I see a church where people come before they go to the hospital because they hear this is a place where miracles happen. I see a church that is a training center for real disciples of Jesus and world changers. I see a church filled with people who have rejected consumer-based, comfortable Christianity and have denied themselves, taken up their cross, and followed Him. I see a church where people are equipped and empowered to serve the purposes of God in their generation. I see a church that's truly a rescue ship. I see a church where people are committed to do whatever, however, to love and reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. I see a church that rejects all forms of cruise ship Christianity and have joined Jesus in His mission to seek and save the lost. I see a church that is a house of prayer for all nations. I see a praying church where every believer gives themselves to prayer, not just a faithful few. I see a church where there is day and night prayer and worship unto our God. I see a church that is radically generous. I see a church where people are committed to seeking first the kingdom of God with their resources. I see a church that has more than enough to do all that God has commanded it to do because every believer is taking their place and obeying the commands of Scripture and the Holy Spirit. I see a church that measures success not by how much we can get, but how much we can give. I see a church that is outside the box and creative. I see a church that communicates the timeless truths of the Word of God through innovation and creative expression. I see a church where songs and plays are written, art and film is created, and media and technology are used to the glory of God. I see a church that is the hands and feet of Jesus and meets the needs of people. I see a church that helps lift people out of poverty, lift people out of addictions, lifts people out of bondage, and sees them experience life in abundance to the full till it overflows. I see a church committed to seeing righteousness and justice established in the world around us. I see a church that plants churches across our nation and in key cities around the world. I see a church that is a launching pad for global workers who will serve in the nations. I see a church that welcomes and reaches the youth of the nations here in Toronto and sees them return to their homes as salt and light. I see a network of churches working together to accomplish the purposes of God in our nation and in the nations of the world. I see a church, last but not least, that recognizes that we are not it, but we are part of the larger body of Christ. I see a church that loves and champions the local church in every city and does whatever we can to serve and support our brothers and sisters in Christ. I see a church that has a kingdom mentality and is committed to our King and to His plans and His purposes in the earth. That is the church that I see. But I don't just want to be the only one seeing it. I want to see a whole family that comes together and says, this is the church that we are going to be. This is what God has called us to. And we're going to have a heart for generations. We are going to build for generations. And we are going to sacrifice for generations. I want to be a church that is living an altered lifestyle where we literally lay our lives on the altar before God. And we say, God, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake, God, have your way in me. God, I want to give my life to something bigger than just going through the routines, going through the motions, living a selfish, self-oriented lifestyle. But I want to be someone who's literally giving my life for the purposes and the call of God. And I don't want to do it by myself. I want to do it with family. I want to do it with a team. I want to do it with an army of people who are committed together and say, God, this is the church we're going to build. This is the legacy that we're going to live. When we stand before Jesus on judgment day, we will present Him with souls and we will present Him with a life worth living and a life that has been given for the purposes of God. We are not going to have hay and chaff and things that burn away in the fire, but our life is going to be precious stones and it's going to be precious materials that are worthy of our Lord and Savior and of our King. We are going to be the elders who don't hold our crowns for ourselves, but that cast them down before the throne of God, saying, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. This is the church I see. This is the people that we're called to be, and we can go there together in Jesus' name. Who is with me today? Who is with me in this call that God has for us? This is who we are. And you may not know this, but this is who you are because God called you here. And it might be hidden under pain and hurt and insecurity and all that kind of stuff. Listen, let's just get that all out of there. Go to the hospital because you got a job to do for Jesus. Amen? And we got a job to do together for Jesus. So, in light of that, let's give. Right? Let's sacrifice. Let's make this decision. And what we're sowing into today is we're sowing legacy. Guys, honestly, here's what it is. We're going to close with this. One offering isn't going to do it. One service isn't going to do it. One prayer meeting isn't going to do it. It's 40 years of offerings that are going to do it. 40 years of prayer meetings. You know, 40 years of altered Friday nights. We won't call them altered forever, but just here before God on our face. And most of the time, it's not going to feel very significant. Most of the time, we're not going to feel like very much is happening. But if we just keep coming back, we just keep showing up, we just keep being faithful with little, God says, I'm going to turn it into much. I'll take your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes and I'll feed 5,000 people. I'll take the little that you bring to me and I will multiply it. I'll take your empty night of fishing and I'll fill your boat with fish the next morning if you just stick with me. And so this is the heart I'm asking us to sow into today. I'm asking us to say, can we sow into this legacy? Obviously, we talked about some practical things for this offering. You know, we're so thankful for our dome. It touches our community. It cost us a lot of money this past year. And so thankfully, through faithfulness in this church family, we're able to take care of all the costs of redoing the turf. But we're just working now to finish up the cost for lost income when the dome was down, because it took longer than we thought it was going to. We're also wanting to continue to improve our church facilities. So, you know, we need some fresh coats of paint in here. We're trying to get ready to welcome even more people. You know, we've got a business plan in place for the cafe. You guys have already given to that in past offerings. So we're going to get that up and moving. We're building, and we're going to keep building, and we're going to keep pushing forward together. And before you know it, we're going to be on to phase 3. Before you know it, we're going to be building up what God's doing. But you know what? That's not the end. Right? There's going to be even more that God has called us to do. But will we be people who say, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to give, I'm going to build for the generation that is to come? And so I just want to ask you, you got the cards when you came in. If anyone didn't get one, just wave. The ushers will make sure it gets to you. And I just want to encourage you. There's an option. You can give a one-time gift today. Or Pastor Sharon are actually doing this ourselves, so you can make a pledge over the next several months. Sometimes that's a little wiser if you don't have a lot of cash flow right now, but you want to do something more significant. But just be led by the Lord. And I said this in first service, so I want to say here, don't you dare minimize the impact that your gift can make. You might be here today, and party's like, I want to give so much, Pastor, but I just don't have a lot right now. Listen, don't you feel bad about that. If every one of us just do our part, we're going to get to where God's called us to go. And here's my challenge to you. If you don't have a lot to give this year, you genuinely don't you feel condemned about it all. You in faith come up, you say, God, I'm giving this year, but next year, I'm believing you're going to have me in a totally different place where I can just step this. And the next year, and the next year, and it becomes part of your declaration of faith because I'm part of the legacy of what God is building here at Toronto City Church. Amen? And so if you just want to fill that out, you can give obviously cash or check. You can also give through the terminals. You can also give via e-transfer online. Just please mark it on the card. And most importantly, please mark what you're believing for. Now, if you're a guest with us today or you're just visiting with us, please don't feel any pressure on this. This is a family thing we do every year. If you want to give something, you're welcome to. But we didn't invite you here today so you could hear, you know, about an offering. This is kind of just church family stuff. You got in on a family meeting, all right? Maybe it was a little awkward for you. You got in on a family meeting. But we'd like to invite you to join the family. The door's open to everybody. And so if you, though, can please fill this out. It's not going to be passed around, but Pastor Sharon and I are going to be praying over each card personally and just believing with you for what you're doing for us. So if the ushers want to come, please, and just put this across the front. Thank you guys. We're actually going to stand to our feet. Well, I encourage you when you're ready to go. I'm going to pray together, but come and just put your offering and put your card here in the basket. And so just come, make that. And here's why I want to encourage you. Let's stretch ourselves in this. Be led by the Holy Spirit, but we're building and we're investing and we're sowing where God wants to take us. Amen? And every person matters, every gift matters, every investment matters. And so, Father, let's just all stand to our feet. You got your offering there, let's just stand, and we're going to close with this today. So, Father, we just come in front. Just take your offering in your hand. And again, if you don't have something to give today, you're not participating, we're not going to look at you weird. That's okay. You just be led by the Lord. We're family, and we're in this together. But just as you fill this out, we're going to come. And I want you to come, and I want you just to put this in faith and just say, God, I'm sowing into legacy. God, I'm sowing into what you're building in our church family. I'm sowing into where you're taking us. And we're going there together. Amen? We're going there together. And Father, I just thank you today for this church family. I thank you for the family that you're building. I thank you for the spiritual hospital you're building, the training center you're building. I thank you for the rescue ship you're building. Lord, I thank you for the legacy you're building here at Toronto State Church. And today, God, as we sow, we believe you for a heart for generations. Lord, we believe you for a move of God that's going to flow into generations. Lord, we believe you for a move of God to come out of this church that's not just going to touch us, but it's going to touch our children and our children's children and our children's children, children, in the name of Jesus. We believe you by the power of your Spirit for legacy, God. And Lord, I thank you for every person that's giving. Irregardless of what the amount is, God, it's their heart that matters behind it. It's their obedience to you that matters. And I thank you for legacy being established. I thank you for prodigal sons and daughters coming home, our children growing up in the wisdom and admonition of the Lord. God, our generations coming forth in Jesus' name. And so we sow into this today. We believe you, God, and we thank you for this. We're in it. We're together. We're building a legacy in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed with me said,